Welcome back to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. As part of our ongoing coverage of the changes in Cuba, we're going to talk about a community that's created a revolution within the revolution.
Comunistas, cristianos, no comunistas, pero es de las cubanas.
That's Mariela Castro, the daughter of Cuban President Raúl Castro, at a 2010 rally against homophobia in Havana. She's telling the crowd that the socialist revolution welcomes everyone, non-communists, Christians, and gay and trans Cubans. But these are the very people who became targets of the Cuban Revolution 50 years earlier.
Para combatir al enemigo revolucionario.
In the 60s, the Cuban government sent an estimated 30,000 gays, political dissenters, and religious minorities to labor camps in the Cuban countryside. Homosexual and trans Cubans were officially banned from jobs in education, the arts, or government. Homosexuals and other people deemed undesirable by the Cuban government were among the thousands of Cubans that left the island on the Mariel boat lift in 1980. The raids and harassment continued, even after the Cuban government made homosexuality legal and repealed public decency laws that kept transgender Cubans in prison. But thanks to changes in the culture ministry, gays and lesbians and trans Cubans have become more visible in art and culture.
Since the 90s, there's really been a big questioning of Cuba's homophobia. The famous movie Strawberry and Chocolate was very, very significant for Cuba.
That's Cuban-American anthropologist Ruth Behar from the University of Michigan.
When that movie opened, there were people lined up on the streets for blocks and blocks and blocks waiting to see this film that's about the relationship between a straight revolutionary guy and a gay critic of the revolution and how they become friends.
In this clip from the film, the straight student tells the artist that he can't be taken seriously by society because he likes machos. The artist fires back.
Tú te has leído todos esos libros, ¿verdad? Pero nada más que piensas en macho.
Yo pienso en macho cuando hay que pensar en macho, como tú en mujeres.
That movie single-handedly really opened up a conversation about these issues and about Cuba's homophobia, and even a need to apologize for, you know, the things that had gone wrong in that earlier period of the revolution.
That apology finally came in 2010. In an interview for a Mexican newspaper, Fidel Castro took full responsibility for the persecution of homosexuals, saying, quote, "Those were times of great injustice." Fidel Castro's niece, Mariela, is now the director of CENESEX, the Cuban National Center for Sexual Education. Since 2007, she's made gender reassignment surgery available to trans Cubans who qualify for it. And she's pushed for bans on discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. This now makes Cuba a sort of gay haven, if you compare it to Caribbean neighbors like Jamaica and Trinidad and Tobago, where homosexuality is still illegal. But Mariela Castro is still a Castro. Many LGBT Cubans credit her for her work, but others resent the fact that their biggest advocate is part of the family that runs Cuba. In fact, dissident LGBT Cubans say there can be no activism without Mariela and official CENESEX oversight. And despite official protection, huge challenges remain for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and especially trans Cubans. We're joined now in our studio by photographer and advocate Mariette Pathy Allen. Her book, Trans Cuba, documents the lives of transgender women on the island. Mariette Pathy Allen, welcome to Latino USA.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Did you, when you went down to Cuba, did you have an expectation, now that because you had photographed much of the trans community here in the States, did you have an expectation of what the trans community might be like in Cuba?
Well, I knew something in advance. Maybe 10 years ago, I had read an article in the New York Times on Mariela Castro. It was a fascinating article and very, very moving to me to know that her focus is on ameliorating the situation for gay and trans people in Cuba, knowing, of course, that when the revolution started, these people were considered the bottom of the heap.
There is a criticism about Raul Castro's daughter, Mariela, in that this is almost kind of a state-sponsored propaganda to show, you know, Cuba has gotten better at this. Yeah. So do you, what is your critique?
Well, my experience was that she was really genuine. I spent, you know, they have now a week against homophobia and transphobia, and it really does go on for a long time in different cities across the country. And she participated, and the activities are fascinating. They're so varied, and the whole town gets involved, from grandparents to little young children.
What was it that led you to want to explore trans identities and trans issues in Cuba, of all places?
I'm a member of an organization called the World Professional Association for Transgender Health. And Mariela, who is a sexologist, had invited a group of people from that organization to come to Cuba because they had a conference, a sexology conference.
Now, you did get really intimate and revealing and beautiful photographs.
Thank you.
But I am looking at this particular photograph at the back of the book. This is Malu.
Yes.
She is naked.
She actually had the idea because I knew she was so proud of her body. She feels very good about herself. She's kind of a leader in the community. And, you know, she said, oh, Cubans are okay about bodies.
The images in your book are amazing. Many of the women look gorgeous.
Yes.
But the conditions, you know, you can tell there's a tremendous amount of
poverty.
So are they able to find work as professionals, or?
Well, it is a big problem because they can't change their names. And they can only get certain jobs.
So what kinds of jobs, for example?
So they can work in the beauty field, hairdressers, manicurists, cleaning or sweeping or working in a hospital.
So it seems like both things are going on at the same time.
That's correct.
You know, on the one hand, a real openness and celebration, official celebration.
Yes.
On the other hand, discrimination.
Oh, well, it's and poverty. What I found was remarkable to me was the lack of resentment and anger and the resilience. And unfortunately, yes, many of them are prostitutes, street work. And a number of them are also HIV positive.
At the same time, is there a real support on the part of the state for LGBT activists?
Well, I would actually call Malu an activist. And she works for CeniSex, and she's out there all the time helping and working with and organizing trans people. And she's the one who I guess they use most for talking to visitors to CeniSex. And it's really Malu who helped me get most of the pictures I have here, introduced me to many of the people. And
she's in this photograph right here on page 23. And I mean, she's stunning.
She is.
And you can tell that she is a very powerful Cuban woman.
Yes, she is.
What would be the thing that you heard the complaint about? Yes, but here our problem is.
Well, I would say the biggest problem has to do with work. There are people who are educated in the group. There are people who aren't. There are people who had to run away from home, like Malu. She was 15 when she ran away from home because her parents, they were Jehovah's Witnesses, and they weren't accepting any part of this. The bullying, that is terrible. I mean, and the teachers, generally speaking, have not helped at all. They're bullied when they go to school by the other children, by all the way through, and the teachers, in fact, in a couple of cases, the teachers were worse than the kids. And So some of them left school for that reason. There's one young person at the back of the book who, very intelligent, 23 years old, wanted to be a doctor, went to school and was, you know, she got a certain level. And they said, no, you can't come to, right from the beginning, they said, you cannot come to school dressed as a woman. So if you want to continue learning, you have to come dressed as a man. And she was so frustrated that, unfortunately, she left before she could get a degree. But even if she had gotten a degree, she would have had to be a doctor dressed in men's clothes. So that's I think, the bullying is maybe the most personal aspect of it.
Maria, thank you so much for all of your work and for documenting this part of Cuba. That it's quite wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciated this opportunity.
And you can find a selection of Mariette Pathy Allen's stunning photos from her book Trans-Cuba on our website, latinousa.org.